Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener. We also encourage you to check out our TV program, Searching the Scriptures, that will air from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 on your TV. We encourage you to give it a look. We also would like to invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You will find copies of all of these radio broadcasts. Also, our TV programs can be seen there, along with a host of other things that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Last, we would like to encourage you to come and worship God with us at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at Harrisburg. And we want you to know that you'll always be welcome and warmly received. We are continuing our discussion of an overview of the Bible, giving us an understanding of how God's book is put together. We are in the New Testament, and this morning we will begin a study of the book of Ephesians. The book is addressed to the brethren in Ephesus, the first of four prison epistles, the other three being Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Some believe the lack of Paul's personal greeting is reason that this letter was to be read between many different churches. Paul writes to those who are rich in Christ beyond measure, though they're not aware of it. They are living lives as spiritual paupers for failure to realize what they have in Christ, and he's going to cover that very thoroughly in the first three chapters of this wonderful book. In chapters 4 through 6, the spiritual walk rooted in spiritual wealth, and we learn of the weapons of our warfare and the conduct as we labor in the kingdom of God, and that we must teach these things concerning the church and its organization. Let us begin with Ephesians chapter 1. We first of all find out that Paul affirms his apostleship by the will of God. He addresses the letter to the saints at Ephesus. We find out in verse 3 a very important fact. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings can only be found in Christ. There are none outside of Christ. We learn in verse 4 and 5 that the way that we get into the family of God and were adopted as his children had been determined before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It was predetermined that all who would become sons of God by adoption would do so by and through Jesus Christ. And we see how in verse number 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We see that by the blood of Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary, we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. That was according to God's eternal plan. We also see that he made known to us the mystery of his will that he purposed in Christ, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. We see here that everything that God determined to do would be brought together by the work of his Son. We see in verse 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You see, we've obtained an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance by our obedience to Christ and our acceptance of Christ by obedience to the gospel of Christ. And we've attained an inheritance by trusting him and trusting in the things that he says. And we've been sealed by the Spirit. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and the glory of God. We see here that through the work of the Holy Spirit revealing the mind of God, we have the divine assurance that our salvation is going to be reserved in heaven because of our obedience to the gospel of Christ. And we have the promise that we'll be redeemed eternally when that purchased possession is brought before the Lord to his praise and honor and glory at the final resurrection and the judgment of all men. We see in verse 15 and 16 that Paul gives thanks for the saints in Ephesus and their encouragement to him. And he continues in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of the glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, and of the inheritance of his saints. The eyes of understanding being enlightened by their study and acceptance of the gospel. They can know the hope of their calling, and they can understand the riches of the glory of their inheritance. And all of this is made possible by their relationship to Jesus Christ. By being in Christ and having spiritual blessings, all these spiritual benefits are enjoyed by those who are in Christ. Verse 19 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." We see here that everything that was done by and through Jesus Christ, according to the greatness of his power. He worked that in Christ and the work that he did upon the earth and his giving his life upon the tree of Calvary. We also see that he raised him from the dead after his crucifixion, and now he's at the right hand of God in the heavenly places. He's seated at that position of honor and glory and will remain there until he delivers the kingdom back to his Father, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 through 26. Now there are some important statements made beginning at verse 21 to the end of the chapter. "Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. To put all things under his feet, he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." He's head over all principalities and power. That agrees with Matthew 28:18, where he said he had all authority in heaven and earth. He's over might. He's over dominion. He's over every name that is named, not only in this age, but in any age to come. All things were put under his feet. He has all authority in spiritual matters. He's ahead of all things to the church. And in these verses, we also find that the church is his body. And he is the head of that body, and he is the head of that church, and all that has been determined by God before the foundation of the world. That leads us to chapter number 2. In chapter number 2, he reminds them that they were dead in their trespasses and sin. "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." At one time they walked and followed the course of the world that was leading them to spiritual destruction. And they were the sons of disobedience. And they were following things that were contrary to God, thus making them dead spiritually in their trespasses and sin. "Among also whom you all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." By nature, the children of wrath is not meaning that they were born that way. They had become that by their observation of the things that were around them, and they were walking like the world, and they walked in the same path of those who did not know God or did not accept God. And so they were following the lust of their flesh. They were following the flesh instead of the spirit. And so they were in need of something to break the bondage to sin. Well, in verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We've been saved by grace, and we've been saved by that grace to raise and sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, showing the exceeding riches of his grace. And we've been saved by grace and not by works, lest we should boast. Now, we need to keep things in context. Remember, this letter was written to the church at Ephesus. These were men and women who had already obeyed the gospel and were in Christ. They were in Christ, and they got there through the grace of God. Through their faith, they had access into the grace of God that was given, was demonstrated to them by the love he had for them to die for them and to give them his blood by their obedience to the gospel that put them into Christ. Now, what that means is not by works. It's not by works of merit. It's not by earning it. It's not because we deserve it. It's because God's grace has granted it to us. He's granted us the opportunity. And we have opportunity of that blood and all the benefits by our obedience to the gospel of Christ, which these Ephesians had obeyed earlier in Acts chapter number 19. We also see that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship, and he created us to walk in good works that he predetermined before the world was ever created. We see some very important things in verse 12 through 16, that this promise was not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, and that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is a very dark, dim, spiritual picture of one without God, without hope, and without promise. This is where the Gentiles were. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, and that's talking about the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, by that same blood. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, both Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them to both, to God in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The cross took down the law. The law was the division between the Jew and the Gentile. And he removed that, he abolished it, he separated it, and he made Jew and Gentile both one in Christ. Not two different people, but one in Christ Jesus. And that was preached to those who were far off, and we see that beginning in Acts chapter 10. Both had access to one Spirit, to the Father. No longer were they strangers or pilgrims, but they were fellow citizens and saints in the household of God. They were built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets teaching him work. And Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone of that plan, and the whole building was joined together. It is a habitation of God in the Spirit, a spiritual house, and a plan that was formulated before the world began and was put together and was finished through the work and the death of Christ upon the cross. Yes, every spiritual blessing and benefit can only be enjoyed by those in Christ. Dear listener, are you in Christ? If you don't know, give us an opportunity to show you through the scriptures how you can become one in Christ Jesus. We want to thank you for listening today. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue the study of the book of Ephesians and show the wonderful mercy and the grace of God. Thank you for listening. Come and worship God with us today. Have a nice day.